best moral man I've ever known, but he never went to church. I mean, the best moral man I've ever known, bar none, far as I know, to this day, the best moral man I've ever met in this world was my father. Never went to church, did not know God. Well, I say never, he maybe went once a year, maybe not even that average. That'll give you an idea. I want to tell you several things about this situation right here. In Matthew chapter 7, now listen carefully. Don't turn to it, just listen. The closing verses of the Sermon on the Mount. You talk about a sledgehammer conclusion to the sermon. Jesus said that sooner or later, there is going to be a storm, S-T-O-R-M, that is going to strike every man's life. Every man's life. No exceptions. No exemptions. No exclusions. Every man's. Whether he's saved or lost, no matter how sheltered he may think himself to be, there's going to be sooner or later a storm that will strike every man's life. He said the rain's going to come, the wind's going to blow, and the flood's going to hit it. I get that. Are you listening? The rain on the roof represents all those pressures in life that come from above, and you're guaranteed by God they're going to come. They're going to come. That's a part of the test by which you live. The winds on the walls represent all those pressures of life that come from outside and around you, and they are going to come. It's guaranteed. Jesus said so. Now, you don't have to live long to prove that. Anybody of any substance and length of life has already proved that. That the rain on the roof has come, the wind on the walls comes, and the flood on the foundations come. The flood on the foundations represent all those pressures of life that come from below. And you've got an enemy who guarantees that. It's going to happen. He'll exert those pressures upon you from below to try to dislodge and drag you down and destroy your life. Now, I've got a big question for you. Are you thinking carefully? What's going to happen to that kind of life when the storm hits it? It's going to crumble. Indeed, it's worse than that. It's going to crash. You know why? Because when that kind of life that is already so top-heavy, it is unthinkable to a thinking person, intolerable. When it starts to tilt and gains any momentum from its normal axis, it's going to gain speed, and when it hits anything solid, it's going to shatter all to pieces. Now, you don't have to have much proof of that. If you've got any eyes and any sense, all you have to do today is look around you in any direction, and you'll see multiplied numbers of people who are walking, daily, living proof of that reality right there. They built all of their resources in their own experience, by their own resources, above the visibility line, looking for security, never finding it there. And when the storm hit, they disintegrated on the very spot. And their whole lives are walking demonstrations of the insecurity that violates that which they thought they were seeking. Now, let me tell you what happened to me at this point. See, I didn't even have a great deal of resources up here. Not trying to be unkind, it was just a fact. Many of you didn't either. Your life is near collapse and imaginable, and is imaginable. Right along here, something happened to me that I have never recovered from and never will, and don't have any desire to. It took place on my 18th birthday, and this is my conversion testimony in just a very brief form. I'm going to do just like Paul. I'm going to repeat it because he repeated his so often he gave us a warrant to do so. I was on the side of the swimming pool, Fayetteville, Arkansas, right after my 17th birthday, 17 years and 3 months, and a typical sinner, except much more aggressive. I was so insecure, I was loud in everything I did. And that loud front was a cover-up for drastic, desperate insecurity, like it usually is in a person. And didn't know how to face life, had little resources to face life, so I was always bluffing my way through everything. I was very clever, thought I had a good mind, I could handle situations, and actually could handle none of them. And it was a hot day, summer day, and there were young people all around on the side of that swimming pool, everywhere. Hey, fellas, y'all look right up here. Hey, look right up here. You pay attention to me. Don't be distracted by anything because nobody needs to be distracted from what I'm saying. Thank you. Good. And I was just like the rest of them, walking up down the curb of that pool. And I said something I thought was so clever and took God's name in vain, a typical point of reference for me, and coupled it with a damn. I God damned something and laughed out loud, loudly, shouted it out loud, thought I was so clever, thought everybody joined laughing with me, and I dived into the pool. And I came up about 15, 20 feet out, came swimming back in, and there was a guy down the curb of the pool about 15 feet. I barely knew his name. His name was Bob Biney, German extraction. I didn't know he was a Christian. I thought I was a Christian. I had been baptized in First Baptist Church of Fayetteville 7 years before, and I thought believing it with your head and something like that might make you a Christian. I didn't know what a Christian was. And he moved down the curb of that pool, reached down to help me out of the water. And I lunged up when I saw what he was doing and closed my hand with his, and he pulled me up out of the water. And once I was out of the water, I thought he had let go, but he didn't let go. He pulled my hand right up to his chest and held me right here. And I was fighting the water dripping out of my hair with the other hand. When I got it under control, I looked up trying to pull this hand away, and he wouldn't let go of it. And he looked right into my eyes. And in love, gentle love, here's what he said. Right with all those people hurrying around everywhere on that side of that swimming pool. He said, Herb, he said, do you know you just damned the only person who ever loved you enough to die for you? Well, I can't tell you what that did to me. It was like somebody took a stick of dynamite or a sledgehammer and loosed those things inside of me, banging around all over on the inside of me. I didn't know it. That's what the Bible calls conviction. Wasn't much to work with, but it was mighty enough. And for 9 months, I jerked my hand away like I didn't even understand him, laughed, and dived back into the water. If he had known what that did to me, he could have led me to Christ right there on the concrete side of that swimming pool. But he didn't know, and I didn't let him know. And for 9 months, I carried that sentence around, convicting me on the inside. And on my 18th birthday, a man told me how to receive Christ into my life. I was frightened to death by everything it meant. Life, death, everything. The positive side, the good side, the bad side. I didn't know what any of it meant. I just knew I was desperate and needed what he was talking about. And he told me how Jesus loved me, how he died for me, how he rose again, how he would come into my life and change it inside out. And I came to grips with that bargain that day and opened my heart and received Jesus Christ into my life, acted upon by the Holy Spirit. And God saved me and change me. Now, I want you to listen real carefully. What if I had been intelligent enough to ask some basic questions at that moment? What about the first 18 years of my life? I might well have said to Jesus, well, that's wonderful. You'll come into me and live in me and save me, but that only takes care of my future. You surely don't know what I've been guilty of in my past. How many people tend to say that to God? He must not know me or he wouldn't love me. See, that's what I thought. That's what every sinner tends to think. That's a part of the iniquity, the distortedness, the twistedness of sin. See, the fact is, let me lay that to burial quickly, that God does not love you because you're lovable. He loves you because he is love. And he cannot stop loving you no matter how unlovely, unloving, or unlovable you may think yourself to be or actually be. God cannot stop loving you because it is his nature only to love you. See? The trick that's played on you is given by somebody else. And so I might have said to him, yes, but that's wonderful to have you in me, but I'd still go to hell because I have a history of sinning behind me. Now, here's one of the most glorious things I know. Jesus might have explained it like this. Oh, I know something you don't know. If you'll let me come into your life right now, I will instantly credit all that I am as over against all of your past. Now, notice that. I will credit it. In other words, on the books of heaven, I will write my righteousness in place of your sins. And I will forever blot out, that's the negative side, your sins. I will forever attribute or credit my righteousness. I will reckon or count my righteousness